Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Good evening, everybody. It's that time again. It's Tora Radio Show. It's Thursday. It's partway through yet another month, and what an interesting January it's been so far. It's 8 o'clock. We're live on RadioLeMans.com. I'm your host, Matt Hunter, once again. Alongside me, across a vast expanse of water, I have Mr. Lewis Satterley. Welcome back, Lewis.
Hello, Matt. In order for you to hear this, I actually had to say that 5 seconds ago, so I heard it came in on time.
Ah, the wonders of the internet. Yes, so, packed show tonight. Obviously, the main focus of this show, as the main focus of all sports car and endurance racing fans will be, is Daytona. For us, of course, it is the opening round of the Racetech Tora Endurance Championship at Daytona. Racetech driving technology into pole position. We have a full preview coming up for you shortly. I sat down with Colin Baring and Ben Williams just last week to discuss some of the entries and how the races will be running. So qualifying week very much underway. Also, all the best guys, I hopefully imagine, will be going this very fine evening. So if we can try and get some of the results in, we'll sneak them in a little later on. Failing that, you can, of course, follow all of the developments over at the forums, live on the website, and also at the real underscore Tora, hashtag TEC16. So, without further ado, let's head to some news. Lewis, there's been another car pack in Forza, shock horror.
Shock horror, yes.
It is the Ralph Lauren Red Polo, I think I've got that the right way around, car pack. But, what can we say? I mean, there is, Polo Red.
Yeah, because you say Red Polo, that makes me think that you're wearing a red t-shirt.
Either that or I drive a very vibrantly coloured German hatchback.
Ooh, touché.
Anyway, some interesting cars in this pack. One I imagine you'd like, well, actually a couple I imagine you'd probably like to get your hands on there, Lewis. The first one coming up.
How do you know I haven't already?
I was more thinking of the real versions rather than...
Oh, okay. Yeah. There is that.
There is that, yes. So we have
Thanks for reminding me of my financial status, Matt. Appreciate it.
You and me both, Matt. You and me both.
You know, I only lost that 1.5 billion Powerball thing.
The 2016 W Motors Lycan Hypersport, which I believe featured in Fast and Furious 7. Unfortunately, we don't have any skyscrapers to throw it through, so I have no concept of how this drives on the road. Moving swiftly on, the 25th. This is a much awaited returning car. The 2015 Nissan number one Nismo Motor Ortec GTR from Super GT over in Japan.
Now, hold on. You say it's a returning car.
Yeah.
The name of it is.
Yeah.
But this is an all-new car altogether, because this is the car that's built to the new regulations for DTM.
Absolutely.
Or Super GT, DTM, whatever it's going to be in America.
Hence the absolutely DTM-y rear wing on it with the lovely swan neck stands and that kind of thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful car, and I am gradually becoming increasingly interested in Super GT, particularly with the coverage it gets with our good friend John Hinoff, and Sam Collins, I believe, does some audio for it as well. I know race car engineering are particularly interested in Super GT. Anyway, the Holden HQ Monaro GTS 350. Very Pontiac-y, isn't it?
I think it is a rebadged Pontiac.
Is it?
I believe. Don't quote me on that. I'm not as intelligent as I sound sometimes.
It's more intelligent than I sound when it comes to cars. Of course, if you have any opinions on the car, on the latest car pack from Forza Motorsport 6, do let us know on at the real underscore Tora. Get your words out, Hunter, using the hashtag TRS. We'll jump forward then to another 1973 car, and one that I didn't even know existed. This is the rarest of the Skyline GTRs. It's the Kenmare, the 1973 Skyline GTR. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is, and I didn't know it existed like you. And unfortunately, again, another car I have not driven out of this car pack yet on Forza, but I'm definitely going to be doing it. Looks like I got a Nissan collection I got to get here.
There's only 40 models still in existence in real life, and most of them have never left Japan.
Really?
This is what I'm being told. Ladies and gentlemen, if you either need to test this car in the game, or go and look at the pictures on ForzaMotorsport.net and have a look at this car. It's you can see the DNA. You can absolutely see the twin roundel rear lights that continue all the way through to the current day. Obviously, the Skyline name, which got dropped in the last iteration, the R34s or R35s.
I think it was the R35.
It was the last one. Yes, and I'm really looking forward to giving this one a go. The 2014 Toyota number 8 Toyota Racing. I'm pretty sure it doesn't need two Toyotas. TS040 Hybrid. I'm gonna.
Now everybody knows why I have not driven a Nissan GTR.
I am gonna. We'll come on to your opinion on this just to set up, but I do have to throw this out there. I am going to argue with the 2014 portion of this, because while the car is painted up as the 2014 car, the performance values of the car are very much, I would say, more akin to 2015, considering the performance or lack thereof that it has against its brethren, namely the Audis. And the rebellions, even, actually.
Yeah, surprisingly. But at the same time, it could be kind of a twist that Turn 10 did to try to make the cars as closely balanced as possible. That way, it's not somebody just getting behind the wheel of a car and going and just blitzing everything.
Very, very pleased to see this car in Forza Motorsport 6. It bulks up the LMP1 stable very nicely. And, of course, with the potential pending arrival of the Le Mans winning Porsche 919, so it could be quite interesting. But
which makes me wonder how the Rebellion and Toyota got there in the first place. Oops!
It should be an AER anyway. Moving swiftly on then to back to America, sort of. The 2015 Formula Mazda car. Now, I really enjoy this. This is a lot of fun. This is like an encased go-kart. This is just so much fun. I can certainly see, this isn't dropping any hints, but I can certainly see a spec cut coming for Toro for this in the not too distant future. Could actually be a fun little sub-series for IndyCar there.
It could. Gotta find somebody to run that for me, though, as I am spread incredibly thin right now.
This is very true. And finally, the 1979 Opel Kadett C GTE, not Oliver, as some people were perhaps hoping. A 1.9-litre fuel-injected engine, anti-roll bars, lots of sporty features on that car. Dubbed as the rally specialist for all days.
I was gonna say, in other words, with all the specs that you mentioned on it, whips through corners like a slot car, goes about as fast as a Mini.
Anyway, we best move on.
Yes, we should.
The other big DLC news this coming week: the Stanceworks track expansion for Project Cars is coming out. That includes a new road course in the Highlands of Scotland. So just my mind that goes to the original Toka Touring Cars special circuits for that one? I don't know. It might just be me.
Very well, maybe.
Sadly, I don't think there's going to be a tank or a very long pink Cadillac in it, though.
God, don't put that image in my head.
There'll be four brand new cars for it as well. The KTM Crossbow R. We also have the Mazda MX-5 Rad Bull Formula Drift car. Two BMWs, the 1 Series M Coupe, and the 2002 Turbo is in there as well. And another car for our Australian fans, the Ford Falcon FG is also available. That is the free car in January. That's very, very generous.
And that is the V8 supercar version, correct?
And that's going. And with the Project Cars quality sound engineers, that is going to be a very special thing.
I know. Dual overhead cams on a V8. Love that sound.
Nom 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 nom. So we will now jump forward to our big race and the pre-mentioned preview with myself, Colin Baring, and Ben Williams. We got together just last week to have a little natter about how we thought the upcoming season would go. This is a long time coming, isn't it? Tour Endurance Championship back for another charge.
Absolutely. Quite the build-up for this one, and we've really seen the entries come out in full force.
Yeah, just the unique way that Turn 10 has put together Forza 6 has really allowed this series to, quote-unquote, come back from the dead.
Daytona, then, gentlemen, is a brand new track for Forza Motorsport fans. We had the Roar a few weeks ago, and that went pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, it did. It was a great chance for guys to get on track together with the prototypes and the GTs running around, just to see the speed differential and, you know, where good places are to get under and in the fast sections and where it's just too sketchy to go for it. And there were some hairy moments, no doubt. I saw some great game clips from some of the drivers, especially in some of the night sessions we did, where it was just a sea of GT cars the prototypes were weaving through. And I'll tell you what, when they got out on the banking, that Nissan GT-R LM opened up, and it was passing its competitors as if they were in GT class. That was quite amazing to watch.
Kind of echo what Colin was saying. No, you're fine. Kind of echo what he was saying. It was good for me, as I'll be in a GT car during this series, to see where the LMP cars, how fast they're going to catch up to me, how and when they're going to catch up to me, like how many laps it will be before I got to worry about someone trying to dive past me or somewhere around in there. Also, in the lobby chat, there was actually a good discussion about where LMP cars should pass, actually, on if you're on the banking. Should they go down below the double yellow, which you're never supposed to do in real life, or should they just go around the outside, or is it the GT's car responsibility to give them the inside line? It was a really good discussion. Also for the LMP guys, just to see how it's going to be to get through those seats of GT, because you can't really do that in test drive mode or the free play that Forza 6 offers. I couldn't think of
You can get the Drivatar or AI drivers into, you know, try to simulate just with computer driven cars, but even those, their reactions and acknowledgement of the cars around them isn't great, and it's not even really the best training for it. But you know, one of the things I want to touch on quickly that we were surprised with was the Nissan GTR, which saw it sign up, and I'm sure half the GT field was thinking, oh, we're in for it now, we're, you know. And I kind of thought the same thing. I figured, oh, they're not going to have any control over that thing. It's going to be a nightmare. But what I found was the fact that that car has so much power on the banking and loses out to its competitors on the infield, it actually relates to the GT cars a lot more in cornering speed. So it's not this ridiculous closing speed in the high-speed corners that some of the other cars have. So I found the Audi, the Rebellion, there was a lot more hairier moments with those cars than there was with the Nissan that would really just relying on its brute power to torque past you.
You will be able to follow the race in many, many ways. Ben, let's talk about the coverage then for the first round, the Racetech Daytona 24.
What we were planning on doing, and since we're still about a week out, we haven't gotten all the details nailed down. What we're planning on doing is that we're going to be streaming most of, if not all, the entirety of the 24 hours on twitch.tv. on the Tora account, which is Tora Online Media, if I'm correct in saying that.
Yep.
We'll be featuring lobby aides to kind of show off how they're progressing and the kind of the action that's been going on, other things like that, because what I saw during the war is that we're going to have some pretty close racing during all of the 24 hours, pretty much.
Absolutely. One of the other things we'll be doing is other drivers as well, they'll be streaming their stints on board their cars.
Yep, absolutely.
As well as if there are times when the main streamer for Tora has to take a break, whatever, we can bring these streamers in, and they're more than welcome to spectate it for their own, just to give a stream. It's the same thing for the second Lobby B. So there's going to be a lot of ways to follow this race, both in car and as more of a TV coverage style with commentary.
I was about to mention that. We also will be featuring very TV-style commentaries from the members of the Tora Media team. I will be in a couple different stints whenever I'm not driving, I know at least, and a couple other people that you will hear here on the Tora radio show will be there as well.
Of course, you can also follow all the action and all the build-up on our Twitter feed at @TheReal_Tora. Lots coming on there. Thank you for all your feedback and photos and everything so far in the build-up to this fantastic race. Hashtag TRS on our Twitter feed if you want to get in touch during the show this evening and talk to us about your thoughts ahead of the opening round of the Racetech Tour Endurance Championship. That's Racetech International driving technology into pole position. And next then, gentlemen, I get to put my Graham Goodwin hat on. And we can talk about... I don't think I've ever seen Graham Goodwin actually wear a hat, but I'm sure someone can tell us.
Go ahead, let's move on.
But we will now move on to the entries. We'll be going through them in roughly class order, apart from the top three, because they're in different classes, of course. Then we will quickly cover the NMP entries, and then through to GT. So, gentlemen, well, Colin, I suppose we have to start with you guys, really, don't we? NMR Red Dragon in the number one car entered as the 2014 Bentley Continental GT3. So, not a lot we can really say about that. Let's move on.
Oh, come on.
Well, it's number one after the last time the TEC ran in 2014. The team won every race, actually, in that, starting with a win in overall in LMP1 at Sebring, then in GT at Le Mans, and again at Silverstone in GT, and that was an overall win as well. Mm. And they had success last year in the Pro GT Championship as well, winning that. So now back for more endurance to try to do it again.
And of course, coming off the back of a rather fabulous class victory in another date, in another endurance race recently at the Nürburgring. So,
indeed,
really impressive form, I think it's fair to say. The number two and number three plates are held by Happy Cat Racing. Happy Cat Racing, or HCR, I should say, for ease. Scuderia and HCR Yamagura. Scuderia entering the first of the Toyota Rebellion R1s that we have entering the race. Driven by Belmont, Motorhead and Hamish. Now, there's a trio that you don't want to mess with in the prototype classes.
Yeah, you really don't want to mess with those three.
Surely not. And that Yamagura entry, actually the TEC champion from the year previous, in 2013, they came back to still get third the following, which was great. So they've had back-to-back podium finishes in TEC. They'll be looking to keep that going, no doubt, with Viper GTSR, driven by HCR TJ Steel, Super T, and Solar. And I believe there may be another driver to come on that. I'm not certain, though.
And, of course, the Viper itself, bit of a dark horse for this race. Many people edging towards the Bentley and perhaps some of the other cars, the Audi and Corvette in particular, proving quite popular. But could the Viper really do it this race?
The Viper is surprising. That car shocked us all. Its fuel consumption is great. It's very well-mannered in handling and no slouch on the banking. It was running lap times right with the front, but it really did get ignored, at least at first. There were no Vipers signed up for the longest time, and then we finally got a couple. But I have quite a bit of confidence in that car for this race. I definitely expect them to do very well with it.
Yeah, I definitely tested the Viper a lot going into this series, and I was expecting it to be a lot more popular just because I was getting pretty fast lap times with it. So it'll probably show up a little bit more as the series goes on, maybe with a couple of sponsorship changes or other things like that. So definitely the Viper is something to look out for.
Well, let's quickly talk about CRA. Koyo Racing entered, and well, two drivers currently entered for that car. CRA Urban and Morfader in the number 26. Audi R18 e-tron Quattro, very popular prototype, unsurprisingly, perhaps. 2014 was a pretty... Actually, no, 2014 was not a great year for Audi, this car proving extremely popular.
I want to touch on that. It's really great to see CRA back. We haven't seen them probably since the last TEC 2 years ago now, but CRA Koi, I saw that name sign up, and that was a little blast from the past there, so... Mm-hmm. Great to see, and fitted with, no doubt, definitely the favored car for the LMP1 category of this race. Most of the field opting with that. We had the Toyota TSO40 from the same year release not long ago, and while we expected that car to be a major rival of the Audi, it surprised us by not being as fast on this game and not having as good a fuel mileage. So
it's almost as if they fitted it with 2015 performance levels over for its championship year. Another Audi entrant then, Griptek Performance. Interesting, because they were originally listed as running a Rebellion. In fact, they had been the first car to enter the Rebellion. I think they had actually rebadged it mm-hmm. as an Orica 05 chassis. They've since changed, not long after the, or not long around the Roar changed again to the Audi R18. A pretty good lineup in that car as well. Technologic Mouse, Iceman, and Mr. Drive, and Fleaver in that car. Safe pair of hands, all of them.
Yeah, those guys really are. They know endurance well. They placed third at the Nürburgring 24-hour on Tora just over a year ago. And they've had a lot of success in British GT, as well as in the Nürburgring race ran just about a month ago, which we took part in. It was good. They're raring to go. They're happy with the prototypes. They were originally going to drive the Rebellion, like you said, but they found the Audi to suit them much better driving style, I suppose, and they opted to change to that. I think they also saw at the Roar just what the pace was like of that Nissan on the banking and figured that they'd want the fuel consumption of the Audi to overcome that rather than the pace of the Rebellion.
We should also make a special mention that Mr. Drive did very well in the Tour VA Supercar Series a couple of months ago, and he was slated to win it, but a couple of misfortunes during the last round actually sent Belmont to take the win from him the last possible second.
Yep, and these two will actually get to rehash that battle at Daytona in LMP1, so that'll be cool to watch.
Many other Audi R18 entries, we'll just gloss over some of those as well. LMP GoPro Motorsport running the 207, Chimera Motorsport in the 189. We also have SCRLR Endurance. That's going to be a mouthful at midnight. Currently in the 638 with a pretty good lineup, actually. There, Sorry Mate Motorsports, Team Screw Gamers Racing, and Tech Life currently all the R18 entries. One standout entry that I have to mention in the R18, just before we nip along to a couple of the other cars that are currently entered. Radiation Engineering, entered by our very own Louis Satterley, stunned many by bringing back from the dead three extremely competent and extremely strong drivers, one of whom is a previous ISCC champion. The other two have been part of endurance racing and ISCC champion-winning teams. If ever there was a prize for best driver lineup and potential dark horse, I think the 61 really, really does have it, because that lineup is absolutely stellar. There's no other way to describe it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that is going to be a card that the ACR Scuderia is going to have to look out for.
Absolutely. And I think also F4H will want to be looking over their shoulders as well for this one, because aside from the fact that Louis has extremely strong knowledge of Audi and a very good history with Audi himself, he also has an extremely strong history with Daytona. So in real life, as we know, if there's a guy you want driving a prototype at this kind of circuit, it's him. So very best of luck to the guys at Radiation Engineering. We'll move on quickly to the GT category now. We'll first move to Allied Forces, because it's alphabetical and that's how we roll.
Yep.
Allied Forces have joined forces with Cyber Racing for this series. Two cars entered under the Cyber Racing banner. One entered for an all-Australian dab at the race. That's going to be fun for them, as half the race is going to be through their
nighttime.
It's
going to be a late night for them, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Actually, the Allied Forces entry is all the Australians. It's an Allied Forces entry. The Allied Forces Cyber Racing entry actually features a bunch of guys from all around the world.
But that's right. Yeah, it's the Erebus Motorsport Mercedes is the Australian car, yeah. I believe. Is that right? Yeah.
And good on them, I have to say. It's absolutely fantastic to have an all. I think it's probably actually the first all Australian car we've ever had. Bless them. Anyway, so the AX4X Cyber Racing and AX4X Erebus Motorsport enter cars. Guess which one's the Australian entry, gentlemen and ladies. Both of those are the Mercedes SLS AMG GT3, the thundering preceding
car
to the new...
That car is so fast on the oval part of this track.
Yeah, that
I believe
is a proper according, bullet.
Yeah, according to Stricken Steven and Urbis V8, who have both been on the show before, correct me if I'm wrong, that car is getting up to 189 miles an hour, which is
wow.
a good shocking. 5-6 miles an hour faster than everything else.
Not bad.
I know our Bentley, that thing is good for maybe 182 if you're mm-hmm. lucky.
Yeah.
But that it sure gets there quick.
Yeah.
So the third car in the AX4X Cyber Racing Alliance will be, see, I do like playing Risk. This is how these things roll. Is the almost all or maybe half Cyber Racing driven car, the official Racetech Cyber Racing AX4X entry, running a Corvette Racing C7R. You may have seen it on Twitter a few times. I do like posting pictures of it after all. With myself, Frank Eddie Fan, Ben is also in the same mm-hmm. seat as me, so at least I know the seat won't get moved backwards and forwards every single time I get out. the really rather quick Adam Watson and also yeah. XPR Moon Tower, who joined quite late to that car. I think that's going to be I'm definitely the am in this car, so sorry to the rest of you. But anyway,
we've been working on the car a lot coming up into this race, and I think we're getting it to a point where we're happy with it. Because I know, at least, I was, even with Colin and a couple of the bank-inging turns coming on down towards the start-finish line. So it's going to be interesting, definitely.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the final AX4X entry is the Hellfire Racing Bentley. That's the number 9. That's the Hellfire, Flying Mikey J, HDT, and Red Dirt Bandit car. That's going to be a quick little runner as well. Then we hit the Audis, the R8 LMS Ultras, the 2014 model, not the new one, sadly. That's conspicuously absent from Forza 6 at the moment. Benedict trio of Greek gods, nonetheless. Mm. Athena, Hades, and Poseidon. Well, that's setting you up for an interesting one if you think you're gods.
Yeah.
719, 766, and the 21. If I was to put money on one of those three cars, I think my money would be on the 21. The Hunty, Woodsy, Martin Aston, Nagus, and John Gout car, probably mm-hmm. the strongest of the three. All three cars have good runners, many of them with strong touring car histories. So this is a natural step up for them, I suppose.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an interesting ride for the Audi. I don't know what they've been doing in terms of pace. They've been reasonably quick at the Roar, I believe.
Yeah.
They did, yeah. Yeah, they definitely had a presence there, that was for sure. The Audi's a quick car here, and we were a little worried about its fuel mileage. I'm sure it's something they've tested and figured out, because it is one of the cars that tends to gulp fuel quicker than the mm-hmm. others.
Moving on to the other CRA entry, because they have entered in both classes, they're also the first entry for the Lamborghini, the Gallardo Super Trofeo, the 782, keep an eye out for that one. Then we have LRT, Limitless Racing Team, also running a Bentley, the 855 for Breeze, Sidewinder, Stubbsy, and Nath.
That is going to be a monster of a team right there. We are looking forward to the battle with them.
I was just about to ask, is that one that you're particularly worried about?
Oh, we have raced them quite a bit. Pro GT was the battle of LMR and LRT, and it was great, and we're ready to go at it again with them. It's going to be tough. Breeze is a tough customer, and the team he brings with him are no slouch either. It's going to be a good race.
And then moving on, the second of the Lamborghinis to be entered for this race, for LMP Motorsport RR, for Dragon, Blaze, Beast, and Razd. Sorry, Mr. Razd. That's the 93.
I've heard rumors, and I don't doubt it, that car is actually quicker top-end than the Mercedes.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that car may actually hit 190 miles an hour. Wow. And we have seen some very impressive times out of it. So if they can get it out, that car will be equally as capable as just about anything out there with its pace and all-wheel drive launch out of the corners.
And then moving forward, we have the remaining two LMR entries. LMR Highball in the Corvette C7R. Well, it's a Corvette. It's in America. It's bound to go pretty quick. Without skimming over it too much. And also, the interesting one, the only BMW entry in the race. Well, the first BMW entry in the race, at the very least. Mm-hmm. LMR might white mushroom with RLL. He has picked up a little bit of support, has young Mark for that one from RLL. Thank you very much for that, guys. So, LMR, Darth Mario, Black Hawk, and Z-Bot in that car. I'm actually very surprised that not more people picked up the Z4. It was something we were strongly considering. I'm very, very pleased to see it. Very, even more pleased to see that it's in that fantastic retro BMW Motorsport livery. I think this is a dark horse for the GT class, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is a dark horse.
It's a car that does. It's not exactly at its strongest on this track. We've done some to help it with its top end because it does tend to lose out a bit. But I think it's a very consistent car to drive. Great fuel mileage. I think over the span of a 24-hour race, it's going to do very well.
Team Hard Online originally had entered as the sole Ferrari. They've now moved across to the Bentley. Understandable. The Bentley is potentially a much safer entry. For the championship. Yeah. Just jumping back then to Samsung, we can't not mention Samsung Racing. They've just had their anniversary. Congratulations on that, guys. Mm-hmm. They've got this fantastic new SUHD TV livery, which looks absolutely brilliant on their touring cars as well. And also, we can't ignore the fact that not only are they entering a potentially very strong C7R for Dizzy Cupid, the British First Explosive Sam, the Wacky Sack and WRA Dark Side, but they're also the sole entry for the Nissan GT RLM, which of course we've mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Just jumping back to that car very quickly, the 497 for TSR Noodle, Montesa Mike, WRC Freak, Hikumai CJD, who I also know from Formula E, and Omega 73. There's a lot of strength of depth and variety in both their cars, and could actually spring a bit of surprise in both classes.
Oh, absolutely. TSR Noodle in particular has been laying down some of the fastest times that we've seen in LMP1 with that Nissan. So the car is plenty capable of being up there. We'll probably see it on the front row for the start anyways.
Are you surprised perhaps that, because many of us did sort of we'll hold our hands up. We did make a few jokes about the GT RLM and its potential in this championship.
Just a few.
But now we've seen the times, and our qualifying is well underway. Are we not a little surprised that not more people have picked that car?
Well, I think based on its pace, you would argue that who wouldn't pick the car? Well, the thing is, they're having to stop for fuel a lot more than the other cars.
Yeah.
They're going to have to make three more stops than the Audi, two more than the Rebellion. That's going to be about a lap in the pits for them over that. So they're going to have to pull out a lap over all the Audis in an hour and 45 minutes before they gain any advantage over them. So they've got a very tough race ahead of them with that car, but it does have the pace to do it if you run it, on rails the entire, stint. They're going to have to push it very hard and they're going to have to be very consistent. So they have quite a tough job, but that's the car to do it. And if you're going to do it, it does have the pace. That thing does well over 220 miles an hour into turn one. And I mean, nothing is even coming close to that. It's really going to be quite a race to watch with that thing. I'm not going to be surprised if that thing's on the front row or on pole even for the race, simply for that reason. But it also does not surprise me that there is only one of them in this race.
Yeah, and as we kind of mentioned before, it's very quick in a straight line, but in the corners it can be a bit of a handful. So it's going to be up to those Samsung drivers to keep it where it is, no matter if it starts on pole or second or whatever it starts. It's going to be up to them to keep the car controlled.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there are also confirmed entries from WRA Racing North and Racing South. And Xbox Motorsport.de, who are running a Pro and an Am car, both of those, all four of those cars in GT. And lastly, we must quickly mention F4H, who returned to the TEC after spellbinding season way back in, I think, 2012 with Red Sonja. that time running as an Acura, the Acura LMP, oh, which one was it?
It was the ARX 04B, I think.
Going to correct me. There's people at Hindhoff Towers going, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But yes, anyway, so, but F4H, never count them out. They will come on strong. That is an absolute certainty for them. Strength and depth in their lineup with Stingray, Mikko, Diablo, Chris Supra, and Madara at the very least, entering in the LMP ranks, plus Music Man, Lightning, Devil and Eggy. Devil and Eggy, of course, have fantastic form in British GT. Bringing that to the GT ranks in the TEC, always a recipe for a strong result. Very much looking forward to seeing how this one pans out after 24 hours, starting very, very soon now. It's getting a bit close, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, as we said, stay tuned to the Twitter feed at @TheReal_Tour. I had to remind myself, that was terrible. For more final details as we build up to the first round of the Racetech Tour Endurance Championship, round one, Daytona 24. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in for live coverage via our Twitch TV channel, via the Twitter feed, and just remember those hashtags, #TEC16. And ladies and gentlemen, we shall see you very, very soon for what I hope, Colin, Ben, is going to be a very, very, very exciting round of racing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep, buckle up, because here we go.
Okay, so that was the preview for the Toro Endurance Championship, the Racetech Toro Endurance Championship. Next, some interviews that Steve Wilkinson did during the Raw a few weeks back. So the first one is from the Samsung pit lane. So let's hear what the Seoul Nissan runners had to say.
Firstly, congratulations on your first year at Toro. It's great having you here. What's it like being the new guys in the paddock, especially for an event like the TEC?
It's been an incredible first year and we've certainly proven ourselves to be a formidable team. With several lobby wins and Dizzy Cupid's recent overall win at the first round of Formula E at Prague, we've also gained backing from companies such as ProBike.
The step up to the Tour Endurance Championship is our biggest yet, and we've definitely turned heads in the paddock with the unveiling of the C7R based on Redline Racing's Paul Supercup car, and the introduction of the Seoul Nissan GTR LM, a landmark for Toro, with us being the first and only team to actually use it. So we're looking forward to moving up the grid next year too.
I can see one car here in the garage. What's happened to the Corvette, and why is it not playing with the other GT cars out on the circuit?
It just took a little trip through the grass, so we were trying to pass a slower LMP car, but so now we just got like a bunch of grass and a bunch of dirt clogging up the intakes and everything. It was a simple mistake on my part.
Oh dear. So will you guys be out in the night sessions?
Yeah, we should be. The pit crew is cleaning out all the vents right now. It should be on track in about maybe 10-15 minutes, so all the drivers will get out for the night session.
That's good to hear. And lastly, it's fantastic seeing the Nissan here blessing the Daytona International Speedway. What's the logic behind the choice of car? Because rumour has it, it's not good on fuel?
We chose the Nissan for the reason that it lives up to its motto, which is innovation that excites. The concept of a front-engine, front-wheel drive car seems odd and unfortunately didn't work for the real car. But for us, it's about showcasing the car and showing what it's really capable of when the reliability is there.
Also, the fuel consumption is an issue, but the car's overall pace makes up for it in the long run. It's an amazing car to drive and will be a joy to drive over the course of the race. We're sure it's the right decision to use this car for the reason of that.
And what's the predictions for qualifying and ultimately the race?
Well, seeing our current pace in the GTR, we're aiming for a front row start after qualifying. The difference in pace and fuel mileage between the cars should make for a close race, but main objective is to still be on course at the 24-hour mark.
All right, well, best of luck with that, guys, and thank you very much.
Thanks. Cheers.
So, had a chance to talk to Le Mans Red Sports, Stephen did, and really optimistic about their chances at Daytona. Listen for yourself.
Another impressive and faultless pit stop by the team. You look very warm in that race suit. How glad are you to hand in the car over?
Good. It was a good first stint for me, one of the first in the night. And the car felt good. not quite the braking power we have in the drive, but car feels good, and Jason's in now. He'll be taking it for the next 2 hours, and I'll be back in after that.
What's it like knowing you have won endurance events like Sebring, Le Mans 24 Hours, and Nürburgring, to name a few?
Oh, it's good and it's bad for these races. It's nice to know that you've done it, but it's also a little added weight to your shoulders as well, feeling that you may, have something to live up to now, but we try to take it race by race and just focus on what we have in front of us.
So it definitely feels the added pressure.
Absolutely, you do feel it, but it's something that's pretty much all in your head. You got to forget it and just look at it as you're a team entering the race that you want to win.
During the off-season, you won the Nürburgring 12 Hours. Has that helped with the preparations for the TEC, and is that the reason for the car choice and car change from the mighty Corvette that we're used to?
It did. It was great practice on the new game in endurance. We got to test everything from day racing to rain to night, and we did. We moved into the new car, the Bentley. We'd raced the C6 Corvette for many seasons in different championships and events, and really that was our car, but we didn't mesh as well with the C7R. It didn't agree with some of the drivers, and we got to running the Bentley at the Nürburgring, and that really, we just fell in love with that car, and we're taking it race by race in the TEC, but we are starting out, with a Bentley now, for the first time on Taurus, so we're definitely excited, but it is definitely different from what we're used to, no doubt.
You say that it's different. Has there been any problems with the Bentley at all, maybe in like transition from the Corvette?
Well, it's a very different car. It's a bit more of a boaty feel with the car that took some getting used to, and we had to really look at how to set the car up differently to really utilize its potential, because it's the power is just immense. That's where it really overtakes the Corvette, just in torque and brute low-end acceleration. But we haven't had any real issues with the car. We've stepped into it pretty well, better than we did with the C7R.
And it certainly does look very nice as well on the track. Tell us more about the other LMR entries that you have brought to the Endurance Championship.
So, alongside us in the GT class for Daytona is LMR Highball, which is actually a Corvette C7R. So we do have one in a CSX freight train livery run by a few other LMR members, as well as two who have just joined. It's the car of GKS Sahara, LMR Ganassi, Joito 04, LMR Minardi, and Leanne 06, as well as the LMR White Mushroom BMW Z4, which has backing from RLL. It's pretty cool. In P1, we just have one. It's Toyota Rebellion, running the beautiful Pescarolo Judd livery. And that car is a lone ranger in that class for us, but going strong at the moment.
I'm sure it's business as normal for the Red Dragon squad and going for the class win here at Daytona?
Yeah, we set ourselves high, but we know it's a long season, so we're taking it race by race, hoping to pull off a win here on the new venue, but we're really looking at the long term for the season right now.
Well, best of luck for the season, Deftone, and thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
So the final interview that Stephen got was from the Erebus team, the all-Australian entered squad with their Mercedes. So let's hand down to Stephen and see what he had to say.
The driver of the 31 Erebus Motorsport Mercedes, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
I'm very well. It's pretty warm down here in the pit lane.
Yes, it is. I'm just glad I'm just sitting back here watching two of the drivers, Chaos Fury and Erebus VA, go do some laps out on this lovely day of like 30-40 degree heat of Daytona.
It is something in the region of that. And how is the team's preparations going as we go into the darkness here at Daytona?
Not too bad. I think it's just, at the moment, I think it's just trying to keep our lap times consistent, because I think I think the two drivers that are out there at the moment, which I will mention again, Chaos Fury and Erebus VA, they're sort of having different times between each other. I think some of them are in the 145s, the others are in 147s. I think it's just sort of like get a consistent number of times together, and then obviously improve on that as we descend into what appears to be the darkness, despite the fact that the track is going to be lit up to the point of no return.
Yes. Being part of a team that consists of four Australian drivers, that's a tour of first, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And how important is that for you and for Tora?
I would say it's really important. Not just for me, not just for the drivers in the Erebus Motorsport team. I think it's important for the Australian sim racing community as a whole, because we got some pretty talented drivers in All Course of Motorsport, which I'm talking across OzFM, Cairns, RGL, V8's online, but I don't think I can name any other leagues that are operating in Australia at the moment that do sim racing. But it's good international exposure, and I'm just really glad that we can actually expose the Australian sim racing community over here, because I think we're already doing. I think there's already drivers already signed up besides us that are from the Australian community. So far, I think.
Yeah, I believe there are. Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully, I wish them guys as well doing well as well. But other than that, I've just the main key point I'm trying to sell is international exposure, and I'm just glad to be part of a team that can actually, you know, get that international exposure.
And any predictions for your car for the race?
Besides crashing in the first few minutes of the first stint and not recuperating, to be honest, I think it's just keeping consistent with our times and pace, because as I think we said, I think that it's just better to with an all-rounder car that we're driving, which I think it's the Mercedes SLS AMG, which I'm definitely sure it is, because otherwise the team name would be Erebus Motorsport. it's kind of blatantly obvious, but to be perfectly honest, it's just consistent of our times, consistent of our stints. Try to, you know, push our car, but not push it too much to the point of damage and no return. And obviously, I think the other major key point of selling is try to stay awake for this, as obviously I think when we start, which is I think it's 2 p.m. British Standard Time, that is actually 12 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings or Standard or wherever the hell most people are in Australia, but if they hear this. So I think the most key thing would be staying awake throughout the night time, which will be during your evening day, all that, and then just, you know, keep pushing.
Well, best of luck with that, and I hope all the best.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
No problems. Have a great day.
You too.
Fantastic from them. Great to see an all Australian squad racing here at Toro. That's going to be fun for them, particularly starting at 2 p.m, which must be the middle of their night. And now we move on to the final part of the show, the traditional part of the show.
The final part? Is it that time already?
It is. It's back to you, I'm afraid. So we'll hand over now to our tame test driver, because we can't, for legal reasons, we can't possibly say tame race driver. Final part of the show then, the Toro test track, brought to you exclusively to Toro Radio Show on lateradiomon.com. It's Lewis Satterley in a very, very fantastic car.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Toro Test Track on the Toro Radio Show on radiolemon.com. I hope you liked that little teaser that we gave you a little while ago. As you can see right here, we're not going to be driving the golf cart, unfortunately, to Matt's disappointment there. I'm sure he'll get over it naturally. Anyways, so today, fulfilling some wishes of the open wheel fans, because we've only done one, and that was the very first one we did with a Maserati 8CTF. So today we're going to drive John Surtees' 1967 Monza winning Grand Prix car, the Honda RA300. This car, it's a little bit of a mixed mashup of a few other cars, because the motor came off of the previous iteration of the car, which was the RA273, which is incredibly heavy. It's a V12 48 valve motor with about roughly 3,000 cc's, they were talking about there, anywhere from 400 to 440 horsepower, which is quite remarkable, even though if you ask the media, they rate the motor for that Surtees had at 396 to be exact, which is a little iffy. If it's the same motor, it doesn't really make much sense. To give you an idea how much power this car has, even in third gear at 100 miles an hour, it could still spin the tires. Considering that the tires are not exactly slicks and there wasn't a whole lot of grip back then, that doesn't surprise me, but still 100 miles an hour wheel spin, that's incredible. Doesn't matter what it is. So the chassis itself actually is developed by Lola and is derived off of Lola's T90 Indy 500 car that they designed and is actually dubbed by Lola the T130. And also this car has a nickname called the Hondola, which a lot of people are familiar with. So a little bit about this car's history. It only led one lap in its entire history, and that was in 1967 at Monza. It was in a race between Jim Clark and Jack Brabham. Clark ran out of fuel at some point along the lap, and then Brabham ended up going wide in a corner, letting Surtees go right through, and he led the final lap of the race and gave the car its only win out of its four starts. Didn't have any pole positions, no fastest laps, and unfortunately the car was replaced almost immediately after the very first round of the season. So, enough of the talking. We're here at Spa. Let's go ahead and drive this beast. Alright, boys and girls, we're right here just before the bus stop here, as we're going to go ahead and give it a little bit of a rev, see what Japanese dreams are made of, along with Grand Prix dreams at Spa. Let's give it a launching start. Here we go. And instantly, we're already at 100 miles an hour in second gear. We're going to come up to the bus stop quickly. Here, we got very cold tires, so let's take it ginger. Take it down to first gear right away. Car is going to want to slide because we have period correct tires here, as the rear tires, I'm being told, are already up to temperature by the sensor here. Great thing about modern day technology, you can get tire temperatures very quick. Through the hairpin there. Now here we go through Eau Rouge. Going to come up here. That's that cold tire pushing me out wide there at the hairpin. Now we cannot take it full throttle even when tires are up to temperature. So we're going to have to breathe it, stab the brake slightly, drop it down to third, feel the car bottom out, it's kicking me out wide actually. Grab a little bit of air, thank God for runoff, otherwise we'd be off into the barrier there. Now into the Kemmel straight, up into fourth gear. Pushing 169, fifth gear, we'll grab that, then hard braking at 170. Car's brakes are very, very soft. It's very difficult to stop very quickly in this thing without locking up. The grip is not entirely there. Sliding it through the corner. A Grand Prix car in the 60s. You think it can take corners faster because of the modern day cars that you're used to driving, but you actually have to tiptoe through it, which is kind of hindering my abilities at the moment. As there we go, back on the throttle hard there. That's another thing. A modern day car could probably take this corner right here through about fourth gear, but we're stuck in second now as we come up into this double left-hander here through the middle part of the circuit, sliding as we go through it, holding on to dear life. Let's put power back down. There we go, keeping it in there. Ease off the throttle so we don't go off the edge of the circuit again. Hard on the throttle again as we come up to the chicane here. Brake hard, second gear again. Its corners just want to deceive you. I want to whip through here so fast, but otherwise we'd be off into the barrier. Tiptoeing once again, ease onto the throttle. There we go, very nice. Hard braking once again as we get ready to come into the backside of the circuit. This is the lead up to the bus stop that we're going to come through. Tiptoe once again, little bit of tires on the grass there. Surprisingly, not a grip too much. So here we are, forward onto the throttle. Let's see what we can do here. We got a quick left-hand kink. Can we take that one to full throttle? Yes, this one we can. Shifting up, as a matter of fact. This one we won't be able to. We've got to drop it back down to fourth, right back where we started, drifting wide again, getting onto that little slick spot of the grass there. Here we are, hard braking once again into the bus stop. Second gear this time around. Drop it down to first for that second part of it. Here we go, back hard on the throttle. There we go. Very nice. Tires are up to temperature now. The car is handling very well now. Not much sliding, surprisingly, for a period car. Hard braking again. There's the hairpin overshot just a bit there, first gear. Back onto the throttle again. Going across the start-finish line here. Now let's see what kind of a lap time we're going to pull here with cold tires. About a 2:11 there. Not bad. Gotta love the sound of Eau Rouge going through that. It takes a lot of concentration, even with the video game. As we come through the Kemmel Straight now, once again, see if we can better that speed that we had. Fifth gear once again. And then hard braking, 172 this time around. Brakes right up the temperature. We can make that one a little bit better now. Here we come, tiptoeing through it again. I just want to go so fast through here, but obviously cannot. Here we go, back on the throttle. Feel it get a little bit squirrely there as the rear end suddenly drift after a slide. Kind of the equivalent of a death wiggle on a motorbike. First gear again out of the corner there. Just holding on for dear life. This is definitely reminding me of the HCTF, where you just want to ease onto the throttle, but at the same time you want to stomp on it, trying to get the rear end to slide to steer the car, as it is understeering now quite heavily. There we go, back on the throttle again. There's that understeer big time as we straddle a curb. Get on there, and all of a sudden it broke out loose on us there. There we go, keeping it straight. No 908 this time around, I don't think so. So we'll bring it back around to the spot where we started from. Loving the sound of that V12 there. It kind of has a grunt, not so much of a scream as we come into this little left-hander here. Sorry, right-hander, I'm getting my direction screwed up now. Here we are. And onto the throttle again. There we go, loving it. Such a joy to drive this thing. Now, a lot of concentration would be needed, obviously, because of all the mechanical grip that you would need, as we're going to ease it off the throttle here and bring it to a stop. A lot of fun driving these things. I can only imagine what it would be like at the time. And as unsafe as they were, because literally you are surrounded by fuel all the way around. So, let's go ahead and climb out of this thing. So, very enjoyable car. Definitely not like the more modern day 908 where you have torque galore and it'll just spin you around. As if you heard the last radio show, you would know that I did not enjoy that car too much. But anyway, this one, very enjoyable to drive. A lot of grip, surprisingly, and that doesn't surprise me considering that the Honda did have much wider tires than other Grand Prix cars at the time. I don't know the exact specifications, and when I researched it, that information unfortunately was not given up. If anybody knows, please feel free to let us know, as I would definitely like to know. So anyway, this is Louis Satterley for the Tour Test Track on RadioLeMans.com on the Tour Radio Show. I got all those in the right order, I think. We'll find out later. I'll get yelled at later if not. Anyways, enjoy, be safe, have fun, and drive fast. Bye for now.
And thanks again to Louis, and thanks again to Louis in real time for joining me on tonight's show. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoy the coverage from our Racetech Tour Endurance Championship Round 1. It's Daytona. And then, of course, be sure to join the good people at IMSA Radio via RadioLeMans.com for all your Daytona needs next weekend. So that's all from us then. See you next month. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.